Good to be with you again this morning. Peggy McDonald again this morning came up to me. She said, we were talking about the hockey game, Pittsburgh and Montreal, of course. She said, I see you're wearing red. I was cheering for Pittsburgh, so she was quite happy I was wearing red. She's a Montreal Canadian fan, by the way. I do tip my hats to them because they certainly have a desire to win. This morning, if we turn to our Bibles, to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. And we want to look at four questions that Jeremiah asked, as it were, the nation of Israel, and is very pertinent for us this morning. These questions, same questions, can be asked to us. The first one is in Jeremiah chapter 2, and we'll read in at verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 2. Verse 22, we'll read in at verse 22, I'm sorry. For though thou wash thee with nitre, and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. Here is the question, how canst thou say, I am not polluted? How canst thou say, I am not polluted? Turn now to Jeremiah chapter 5, the next question. I'm just going to read just the question in verse 7 of chapter 5. The first question, of course, was asked, how canst thou say, I am not polluted? Or, how can I say that I am not a sinner and full of sin? Secondly, we see in verse 7 of chapter 5, Jeremiah asks this question to the nation of Israel, how shall I pardon thee for this? Or how can I forgive you for this because of your sinfulness? Turn back to Jeremiah chapter 3. Another question. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 19. Again, I'm just going to read the question. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 19a. Here it is. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children? How shall I put thee among the children? In other words, how can I be brought from a sinner to a saint? How can I be put into the family of God? And the last one is this in Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 13. Good to hear those pages turning. Jeremiah 13 and verse 21. Another question. Look what it says. What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? Wow, that's quite a question, isn't it? What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? Again, the questions. The question, the first one was, how canst thou say, I am not polluted? Secondly, how shall I pardon thee for this? Thirdly, how shall I put thee among the children? And the last one, how or what wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? Now, we can use all those questions today for each one of us before we are sinners, aren't we? A lot of times we stand up here, and this morning be the same thing. We come to tell people how to be saved. And an old preacher recently told me this. He says, you know what? We probably should be telling people how they can be lost. We should tell people how they can be lost. You know why? Because it says in Luke's Gospel chapter 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know what? You cannot be saved until you understand and know that you are lost. Can't be saved until you know that you are lost. I couldn't be saved until I knew I was lost. And to be lost means to be without hope. In and of yourselves or anything around you or any other person, you know you're lost. You know what? Today, most people have no idea they're lost. A lot of people don't even think they're lost. They don't really care. Most of us all have these GPSs now when we do our traveling on the roads and so on. You know what that stands for? A lot of us think that we have a GPS life ahead of us. Good person syndrome. We're just good people. We're not lost. We don't need help. We don't need help from anyone. Most of us look at our lives and we say, you know what? Things are going pretty good. Some of us may be even middle aged and said, you know what, life, I look back at my life and everything has been pretty good, pretty successful, no diseases, still alive. Why would I need God? Why would I need God? I'm doing okay. I'm happy. Why do I need to go out and do something else? Get involved in something else or with another person? You know what? We're all sinners, aren't we? The question was asked, how canst thou say, I am not polluted? Some of us don't believe we really are. What is pollution? We hear all about it today. The air is polluted, our water is polluted, and everything around us, the ground and so on, is polluted. What does it mean to be polluted? Well, if I took a drop from the treatment center down in the middle of Charlottetown and put it in that glass of water, would my glass of water be polluted? Just one little eye drop. It would be polluted, wouldn't it? Or I took it and I dipped it in some ink and just one little drop in that glass, would it be polluted? I could put that drop in a 45-gallon drum of water. Would it still be polluted? I could put it in a great big pond. Would it still be pollution in there? Yes, it would be. At a lesser degree, but still be polluted. And sometimes people look at ourselves and we say, well, I may be sinful. I may have sin within me, but I'm not as bad as that fellow over there. I don't have as much pollution. I don't have as much sin. Some would say, you know what? We'll tell a little white lie. Did you ever hear anybody say that? What is a little white lie? God says sin is sin. It doesn't matter if it's small, big, or what. And here he asks this question to the children of Israel. How canst thou say, I am not polluted? He said, look at your lives. What you think, what you say, your thoughts, your motives, your intentions, and your actions. He says, how can you say that you're not polluted? And today we say the same thing. Well, all these people in this building, in the balcony, all around, how can we say we're not polluted? And yet people do not want to talk about sin, period. Do you know why? Because it convicts us. And the Bible clearly tells us that every one of us are polluted. Look at Job chapter 14. The moment you are a sinner by birth, you were born in sin. Job chapter 14. Man that is born of a woman, verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Verse 4. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Chapter 15 and verse 14. What is man that he should be clean, and he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Verse 16, how much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water? Those are only a few verses. You know the verse in Psalm 51 that I quote so often. David would say, behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin, but my mother conceived me. See, we're born sinners. We're born polluted. Even this little child. Unreal, isn't it? Born in sin. At birth. All are sinners by birth. Look at Psalm 58 and verse 3. Listen to what it says. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. That is the word of God, not me making it up. So we're sinners by birth. In other words, we're polluted by birth. Secondly, we're sinners by nature. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. We all know the verse. For as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we're not only sinners by birth, but we're sinners by nature. And then we think of the verse in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 and 10. The heart, listen to this, the heart is deceitful above all things. What is the heart of man, of woman? The heart involves the mind, the will, and the emotions, the mind, the will, and the emotions is the heart of man. We're not talking about the heart that pumps blood. We're talking about the driving force, if you will, the control center, the mind, the will, and the emotions. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about the heart of man. And it says the heart of man is deceitful above all things. There's absolutely nothing in this world as deceitful as my heart and your heart. and desperately wicked. And then it says, who can know it? I can look out and look at you and I don't know what your heart's like. But look at the next verse. It says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. I try the reins and give to every man according to his way, according to the fruit of his doings. See, God looks on the heart. We look on the outward appearance, and God doesn't. So we're born, we're sinners at birth, we're sinners by nature. We're also sinners by practice. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20. It says this, for there is not a just man. That word just is the same root word as righteous. There's not a righteous man upon the whole earth, it says, that doeth good and sinneth not. And then we can go to Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. We are all like an unclean thing. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. Everything that we do, in and of ourselves, in our natural manner, unsaved manner, that's what we're like. Anything we do good is absolutely just like filthy rags in God's sight. We don't like to hear that, though, do we? You know what? Finally, all sin is against God. The little sin, the bigger sin, every sin is against God. Look what David said in Psalm 51, verses 3 and 4. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. That's why we have a conscience. We have a conscience that pricks our minds and our hearts. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. My sin is against thee and thee only have I sinned. All sin, whether we do it against another person or another group of people, all sin is against God. And we need to know that. So here we are. We see Jeremiah, he asks this question, how canst thou say that I am not polluted? How can you say that I am not sinners? And you know what? I believe a lot of us today, we love to try and impress God. We don't come out and say it, but you know what? We try to impress God. You see, many of the unsaved, that's what they try to do with their works. I know several people, and they're doing all these good works, and you see all their good works plastered on the papers and so on. You know what? They think they're winning, they're getting brownie points with God. They try to impress God. You know what? There was only one who pleased God, and that was his son. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. That was God said about his son. You know what? We can't impress God. We can please him. Hebrews chapter 11, without faith, it is impossible to please him. How's your faith? You trust him every day? Do you trust in the Lord with all your heart? Are you not leaning on your own understanding, acknowledging him in all your ways? How is your faith? Trust, believing in God. So we see, how canst thou say I am not polluted? We go on to secondly to what I want to the next question in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 7. The Lord, we ask this question, or Jeremiah would ask this question, and we would ask it today, how shall I pardon thee? Or God would ask, how shall I pardon thee then? For this, for your sinfulness. How shall I pardon thee? Why should I pardon thee? Well, first of all, he can pardon us by his divine love. We're not talking about human love, we're talking about divine love. A love that's so far beyond what we can understand or comprehend. Divine love. We were talking about that a little bit this morning in breaking of bread. We see that in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. He's not talking about the grass and the trees and everything else, he's talking about the people. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. A divine love. Who would you give in your family for some other creature down the road who may be laughing at you, maybe hauled off and hit you, or maybe said something terrible about you? Would you give something for him that he might have life? He might live longer? If he had a dreadful disease even? God did it for every one of us. In that he loved us so much, he gave his son. How shall I pardon thee for this? Because of his divine love. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. It says this, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or satisfaction. Christ paid the price that we should have paid. God was satisfied with it. He paid the price for our sins because of his love. His love was manifested. That means it was openly shown. We see that in Romans chapter 5. God commendeth, same thing. He basically openly showed his love. God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is how he can pardon us. Secondly, by divine mercy. And we know what mercy is. We see it throughout God's word. Mercy is God not giving to us, those of us who are saved, what we deserve. And he even shows his mercy towards those who are not saved. Not giving to us what we deserve. What do we deserve? We deserve hell. We deserve punishment. We deserve to die on the cross. But Christ did it for us. He can pardon us or he can forgive us because of his divine mercy. Look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. We see there the washing of regeneration. The washing there speaks about a bath bathed all over, cleansed by that precious blood. And through the blood of Christ, he has cleansed us from all sins and he has made us a new person by the indwelling Spirit of God. Titus would say because of his mercy. What about Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and verse 23? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. God not giving to us what we deserve. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassion, because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We have a faithful God. How many of us would be that faithful? How many of us would have the same mercy upon us? You think of your own life, day in and day out. You think of the 31 years before I was saved, day in and day out, and the sins and kept piling up. And yet there was a God who had mercy upon me. He could have stroked me out just like that. Could have been in an accident. Could have had a heart attack. Could have had many, many other things. But because of his mercy, he saved me. One night in 1982, I came to myself like the prodigal son, if you will. I understood that I was lost and that I could not be saved. I understood that I was like a ship out at sea in trouble and sank and was unrecoverable, could never be recovered. I understood I was like someone in a forest of thousands of acres, and I knew I did not know my way out. My GPS did not work anymore. My good person syndrome. I was lost, and that's where we need to get before God can save us. We need to know that we're lost. And sinners, a sinner is a lawbreaker, and it's God's laws that we break. He can forgive us. He can pardon us for all those sins because of his divine love, because of his divine mercy. What about his grace? To you and I who are saved, grace is God giving to us something we do not deserve. Mercy, God not giving to us what we deserve. Grace, God giving to us something we do not deserve. What is that? He gives us eternal life through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. He gives us something we don't deserve. And that's his grace. We can break that down, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. Unmerited favor, something we do not deserve. God gives it to us. He forgives us freely and fully and frankly. He forgives us when we come to him and ask for forgiveness. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be, again, here we see that word, propitiation, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Because of his grace, we can be forgiven. He can forgive us. And then finally, by his divine blood. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. It says this, in whom, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Are you saved this morning? Do you know you're saved for sure? I was reading or listening to a John MacArthur CD, and I'm not one of his big fans, but it was very interesting on Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. In that passage, we see it says a number of people. We see, first of all, it says the narrow way and the broad road, and it says many there be that go therein. That is the broad road. But over in the next, in the same chapter, we see there where it says a group of people saying, Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name? Have we not done all these marvelous things in your name? And then we hear this voice, depart from me, I never knew you. And what Mr. MacArthur was speaking about, he said, there's so many people today who are duped into thinking they're saved and they're not. And I believe there's going to be a lot of surprises when we get to heaven. We think of the gentleman in Matthew's gospel also. There was a memory, he was in the wedding party. He came into the wedding celebration and he didn't have on a garment, a wedding garment. Until the master came and saw him without a garment on. See, a lot of people love to be linked to the Christians. It's a lovely environment, peaceful. Lots of nice things going on. They kind of feel good in there. But they're people who had never had a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were never saved. And someday, they will hear those words, depart from me, I never knew you. How serious is it if you don't know for sure? If you have doubts, to go back to the cross where it all began. And again, say, Lord Jesus, please save me if I'm not saved. I want to know for sure that I have eternal life. So many times there's doubts in my life. I want to know that I've come under into the good of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We see those two verses again in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved? But it doesn't stop there. It is the grace of God that saves every man, woman, and child. That is God given to us something we do not deserve. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Have you ever reached out and taken that gift that God has offered to you in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ? Have you ever put your full trust and faith in what Jesus Christ has done? Can you say, I have come into the good of that shed blood? I know I'm saved because I have one night, one day, one time, I've asked Jesus Christ to forgive me. I have repented of my sins. I have a Godward change of mind. I now believe I'm on the same page. I am linked to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Why? Because that day I confessed my sins and I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, in his cross work, his finished work, his blood. His blood cleanses me from all my sins. And I trust him every day of my life because I love him. I love him. We're doing a study on a little book of Song of Solomon. It's all over. But the little Shulamite girl in that story, you read it sometime. The little Shulamite girl, she had an affection for one person. We would show it as the little shepherd boy, a picture of Christ. The shepherd boy, who you don't see very often in the Song of Solomon. But there's three L words that go with that. She had a love for him. She had a tremendous love for this shepherd boy. And nothing else would deter her from that. She was loyal to him. And she longed to see him. And we see that at the end of the Song of Solomon. Do you know what? Those are three L words that every single one of us who are Christians here this morning need to have. We need to love Him with all our hearts. We need to be loyal to Him. And we need to long to see Him, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you love Him? Are you loyal to Him? Do you long to see Him? Or are you just assuming He stayed away so you could continue on with your life? How canst thou say, I'm not polluted? We started off with, how shall I pardon thee for this? For all your sin and wickedness and iniquity, how can I pardon you for this? The Lord says, well, because of His divine love, His divine mercy, His divine grace, and His divine blood. He can do that. But does that make you saved? The next question, how shall I put thee among the children? In Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 19. How do I get into it? How do I become a child of God? There's preachers today say that we are all children of God. Well, we may be by creation, linked to Him by creation, but we're not, if we're not saved, we're not children of God. Look at 1 John. Turn there with me, please. 1 John chapter 3. The epistle of 1 John. Epistle of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, does not habitually practice sin, is what it means there. For this seed, for his seed, that is the seed of the Lord Jesus, remaineth in him, pardon me, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You're not saved this morning. You're not a child of God. That's why it says in John's Gospel chapter 3, we have to be born again. This little child, this little girl had to be born to have life, didn't she? Do you want spiritual life? Do you want to be a child of God? You need to be born again by the Spirit of God. Born from above. And that's the only way you can become a child of God. By being born again. We see in the parable of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 38, we see the field is the world. We see the soils and so on. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But we see the tares and the wheat there. The tares are the children of the wicked one. It says they all look alike. They look alike. There's a lot of deceivers in this world today too. We were talking about that earlier. The tares are the children of the wicked one. And the wheat, which someday will be harvested, are the children of God. John chapter 8 and verse 44 says this. The Lord was speaking to a specific group of people, the Pharisees. He says this, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning. The unsaved must be born again, as we already mentioned. You must be born again. How do I get in to the children of God? How to become a child of God? You must be born again. We went there to John chapter 3, verse 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot understand. He cannot understand God's word. He cannot understand His commandments. Unless he's born again. Born of the Spirit. Indwelt by the Spirit of God. Born from above. Put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The one who died for us. The one who died for us. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13 says this, but as many as receive Him, to them gave He the power or the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That is John chapter 3. We're just going to go there for a moment. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, if I could find it here. That was over, that last verse I quoted was in John chapter 1 and verse 12 and 13. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, that is of human descent. You can't be born again because your parents are. It says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. You can't be by the human desire. It says, nor by the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You can't be born again by human descent, by human desire, or human design. In other words, you just can't make yourself born again. You must be born of God. There must be a time when you come to the place of saying, Lord, I am lost. Lord Jesus Christ, will you save me? I want to be saved. In Jonah, it says, salvation is of the Lord. And it's the grace of God that saves us, but it's faith, it's our part by faith, saying, Lord, I totally believe what you say in the Word of God. First of all, that I'm a sinner. F-A-I-T-H, forgetting all, I trust him. And that's basically what you're doing. You're emptying yourself of yourself. And you're saying, Lord, you be my pilot. You be the one I want you to lead my life from now on. Not somebody who drives around with a license plate that says, God is my co-pilot. God is nobody's co-pilot. No one's co-pilot. If he's not your pilot, he's not any part of you. You may say, well, I believe in God. What about Jesus Christ? Because if you do not believe in Jesus Christ and what he's done for you, you don't believe in God. The Bible says that. I heard a preacher speaking, you know, God does not receive sinners. Do you believe that? The Lord Jesus Christ receives sinners. We read a verse this morning. There was one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, so that he could receive sinners on behalf of God. Yes, he was God the Son. But unless people go through Jesus Christ, God's Son, they can never get to God. And yet you think of the religions of the world today, and every one of them say, I believe in God. And they believe that they can get to God without going through his Son, Jesus Christ. They believe they can save themselves. As Brother Nicholson, Jabe Nicholson, says on it, there's only two religions or two beliefs in the world. One is that I can save myself. And the other one is I need a Savior because I can't save myself. We think of all the different religions, all the isms, Protestantism, Catholicism, Mormonism. You just go right on down the line. And they all point to, they say, we don't need a Savior. We can get to God ourselves. We can save ourselves. And he uses the illustration of someone was in a building and they're burning and there's no way out. There's dropped three stories and the building's burning and they say, save me. You say, no, you can save yourself. You suppose they could? Well, that's what people are doing today. I can save myself. I don't need a Savior. And that's why Jesus Christ came into the world. The only reason to save sinners. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. And he does receive sinners. He is the mediator. And we know what a mediator is. Someone who is a go-between, between two parties at enmity. And he is one who was God, manifest in flesh. He is able to reach up to a holy God, and he's able to reach down to a sinful, filthy man, and he's able to bring them back together at the place called Calvary because he died for that sinner. And when God looks at his Son, Jesus Christ, and you are in Christ, you are acceptable in the Beloved. God accepts you in his family. Because of what his Son did. That's why Jesus Christ is absolutely so important. And yet today, he's left right out of the way. Out of the picture. Jesus Christ is the one who died for every man, woman, and child. And without him, you have nothing. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. The Lord Jesus said that. I enjoyed Fennell's little point this morning. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. At his incarnation, they had no room for him or no place for him. And then in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23 and verse 33, when they were come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. Her brother mentioned, there they found a place for him. There was a place of crucifixion. They were the people like you and I. They found a place for him. There they crucified. There was a penalty that you should have paid. I should have paid. He paid it. There they crucified him, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the holy, spotless Lamb of God, the only way, the door to God's heaven, and they crucified him. And you know what? If you're not saved this morning, you just as might as well just be there too. If you don't know him as your Savior this morning. The unsaved must have faith in Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. By faith is the only way you can enter into God's grace, into his goodness, his mercy, and so on. His divine blood. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And then we come to the last one. What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? And I go back to that story in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, I believe it is. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, I'm sorry. Again, that man, that person who come into that wedding feast without a wedding garment on. And listen to what he had to say when he was confronted. I'm going to ask you again, what wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? God has tremendous love for every man, woman, and child. He has demonstrated it over and over and over again. He paid a tremendous price for you to be saved. And it's left up to you to either believe it, accept it, accept his son Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you can deny it. And someday you're going to stand before that same one who was crucified for you, because God gave him power. He gave him the authority to judge the world and everyone else. And someday those people who are not saved are going to stand before him. This is what they're going to say, like this man in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. And he saith unto him, that is the master of the house, friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? Listen to these words, and he was speechless. He was speechless. See, this man, he wanted to enjoy all the festivities, didn't he? But he had no respect for the master. He had no respect for the bridegroom. He didn't want to put on a wedding garment. He wanted to enjoy all the frills and all the things that the other people were doing, but he didn't want to have to pay a price. He didn't want to really be totally linked to them. And he was speechless. You know what it says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27? It is appointed on the man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Do you hear those words? If you're not saved this morning, you have your name written for an appointment with God, and you have no idea when it is. And if you're not saved this morning and you die in an instant, the only place you're going to stand is before the very one who has his hands and nails pierced on your behalf and already has paid the price. You're going to stand before him, and you will be speechless someday, as it says in Revelation chapter 20, at that great white throne judgment day. Speechless. We can read that quickly in Revelation chapter 20. Listen to what it says. My friends, I don't hear anyone speaking out in that those verses. No one. Revelation chapter 20, reading in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. and there was found no place for them. There we see the word again, no place for them. They couldn't flee from God. See, God is omnipotent. He's all-knowing. He's all-seeing. He sees everything. He's ever-present. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. See, God has everything marked down. Those little sins, those big sins, He has every sin marked down. This is for those who are not saved. And the books were opened, and another book opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Remember, we started off with John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen to another whosoever here in this last verse. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Who is the whosoever? That's you. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, you have a chance, you have a choice to make. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Revelation says, but whosoever's name was not written in the Lamb's book of life. Those who did not choose to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. Because the moment you're saved, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. To whosoever's. What will you say then when He shall punish thee? You will absolutely say nothing. Your mouth will be closed. It will be stopped. And you will know full well why you're standing before this man who has nail prints in his hands, his feet in his side. See, he will be forever distinguishable with the marks of Calvary on his body, a price that He paid, marks that men like you and I and women put in His hands, His feet, and His side when He was paying the price for our sins on Calvary's cross. No one will open their mouth on that day when they stand before Him. And He will say what? Depart from Me, I never knew you. I pray that there's no one in this building this morning that will ever hear those words. And if you are here this morning and you do not know that you're saved, you don't understand, you just have never come to the place where thinking that life is going to come to an end and eternity is going to begin. And what you do on earth now with Jesus Christ is going to determine what you have for all eternity. Christ died for your sins. He paid a price you could not pay. He did it because of God's love and His love for you. And you have the choice to make whether to receive it, to believe it, to trust Him and ask for forgiveness, or to reject it and someday stand before the throne of God. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank Thee for loving us. We marvel, Father, at Thy love. We are only humans. Our minds can only comprehend and think so much, think about so much, and Father, are able to obtain so much, retain. But Father, there is a God who knows all, who knows every one of us better than we know ourselves. He tells us clearly that in Psalm 139, even before we were born, He knew who we were. All our members were marked down. He is before us, behind us, about us. Even if we went to the deepest sea, to the farthest corner of the earth, He still sees us. He still knows us. Father, we thank Thee for a God who loves us and in the past eternity made provision for us. We are lost. We are sinners. Not only by nature, we can't just blame Adam for our sin. We practice sin every day, for we choose to do so. And Father, we pray that the Spirit of God would have liberty here this morning to prick hearts,
to show people that they need a Savior if they want someday to be in God's heaven. Some people would say, well, what is heaven like? Maybe it's not for me. It's a place of bliss, a place where the Lord Jesus Christ will be preeminent. He will be all the light. And Father, we look forward to the day when we will meet Him, and so ever will, forever will be with Him. On the other hand, Father, those who reject Him will go to a place, Father, prepared in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, prepared for the devil and his angels. And Father, for those who reject Him, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the whoremongers, the wicked, and for all eternity, spend eternity with them. Father, what a choice. What a tremendous choice to be with the Lord forever. A place of perfectness. And Father, we shall be changed and we'll be like Him. We'll think like Him forever. Father, we pray the Spirit of God would speak to hearts today as we read from Thy holy word. And Father, we pray that someone would come to know Christ as their Savior even this morning. Part us with Thy blessings, we pray, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Could we close with number 62?